with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by the shepherds. My friends, there are few motivations or motivators in life as strong as that of fear. Fear can cause some individuals to freeze in their tracks, afraid of the slightest hint or prospect that something disastrous is going to happen or overtake them, and they are held captives. Or on the other hand, fear can be the motivator that causes individuals to achieve great things. However, for those of us in Christ by faith, regardless of what may or may not befall us, we should fear not. Let me share with you a couple of quotes concerning fear. Thomas Jefferson said, "How much have cost us the evils that never happened?" The thought here is simply that most of the things we fret never come to pass. We are consumed to the point where we spend endless amounts of time and energy to prevent what most likely will never happen. Arthur Summers wrote, said this, "Anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained." It might help to remember that the Grand Canyon was once but a little ravine. Yet it gives a good example of what can happen if certain forces or things are left unchecked, or in this case, allowed to develop into something they shouldn't. George Mueller said, "The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety." The truth is, there is but one true answer for our fears. My friends, for many, this season of fear, this is a season of fear. The fear of being alone, of having not accomplished everything we've carefully planned for the holidays, or forgotten until the last moment. The fear of having to travel, possibly to a destination we would rather not go, or the journey itself. It is a season also filled with depression, which often is simply fear turned inward. But nonetheless, it is there, and for many, it is more than a real challenge. However, because we are all unique, especially in God's eyes, He has addressed our fears and uncertainties in the most remarkable of ways ever imagined. Fear not is our message for today. We'll look at Isaiah 9:6 to begin with, and we'll end up in the New Testament and the fulfillment of that promise. In fact, Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In the scriptures referred to as the Christmas narratives, there are several fear nots. We will look at four specifically in which we can clearly see the provisions of God to address our fears. Our first fear not, there's a little thing in the bulletin there, an outline, that you can write this down if you want. Anyway, our first fear not is the fear not of salvation. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in the swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Luke 2:10-14. What a blessing, huh? What a blessing. Peace and goodwill to men. Fear dwells in darkness. It does not do well in the light of day. It's manifested for what it really is. The appearing of the angel must have indeed been quite a shock to the shepherds. Immediately, he proclaims to them, Fear not. He would have to pick me up off the ground to tell me that, I'm certain. I am here as God's messenger. First he told them to fear not, and then he told them why they shouldn't fear. If you're going to tell someone not to do something, you need to tell them why. Don't you think? It's important. I am here as God's messenger. When God brings us revelation, it is to assure us not to strike fear into our hearts. Those shadows in the night are revealed for what they are, shadows, and often things that are of little consequence. You ever remember when you were a child, or maybe some of your children, they'd get scared at night, they'd turn that bedroom light off, and there was these shadows, and they didn't know what they were. But if you turn the light on, you thought, oh, I left that in the chair. Why is that on the floor? You know, we fear things that we just shouldn't fear. It's foolishness to fear, especially if you trust God. You can't fear if you trust God. If you really believe in what His Word tells you, you cannot fear. Why should they fret not? Because for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, a promise given long ago as a promise kept. The Messiah has come. No longer do we have to sit in the dark under troubling skies in fear and uncertainty of tomorrow. Note that our tomorrows were secured the day that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Sealed. It's forever. It doesn't go away. Isn't that amazing? That's the power of God to move upon our hearts in such a way that we can't help but to be obedient to Him. Now, for some of us, like me, it takes a little longer to get to that point. But I got there. You need not ask for a sign, for it is proclaimed in the message. God knows man's heart and his fears. How do we know this is true? One might ask, if an angel appearing before you in the night sky is a small matter. The answer is, he shall find the babe wrapped in the swaddling clothes lying in the manger. How do I know what you said is true? Go look. Go and see for yourselves. You'll know. God's Word speaks to us and tells us what to do. You know, tells us to be obedient, and we'll receive all these blessings. And he tells us if we're not, then we'll receive all this other stuff that we don't want to receive. You know? But the jubilation is not for the angels, nor is it for man. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. My brothers and sisters in Christ, all glory and all praise goes to God Almighty. Never to us. Never should go to anyone standing in the pulpit. Everything has to go to God. We lay all of those things before Him and praise Him for what He's done for us. He has indeed orchestrated and accomplished this magnificent gift for us. Many deny the existence of God, of the Christ Jesus and His message for man, at least until they are confronted with their own mortality. Always got a kick out of, I think it was Bill Cosby said, all these atheists, as soon as the ground starts to shake, they're going to drop to their knees and say, oh, Lord. Pretty easy to convert them, you know. Don't you wish you had something you could cause the ground to shake a little bit? Oh, my. Suddenly gripped with fear, the message for today and for the ages to come is fear not, for unto you a Savior is born. It is God's gift to man. Today fear can be laid down at the feet of Christ with assurance that if we but accept God's gift, salvation is ours. The following was written by Donald Gray Barnhouse. It is called The Shadow of Death. As frightening and foretold as death may seem, it can neither hurt nor destroy the child of God. In his book, Facing Death, Billy Barnhouse relates an experience of Donald Gray Barnhouse, one of America's leading Bible teachers in the first half of the 20th century. Cancer took his wife, leaving him with three children, all under 12. The day of the funeral, Barnhouse and his family were driving to the service when a large truck passed them, casting a noticeable shadow across their car. Turning to his oldest daughter, who was staring sadly out the window, Barnhouse asked, tell me, sweetheart, would you rather be run over by that truck or its shadow? Looking curiously at her father, she replied, by the shadow, I guess. It can't hurt you. Speaking to all his children, he said, your mother has not been overridden by death, but by the shadow of death. There is nothing to fear. Our second fear not is the fear not of the humanly impossible. Fear not, Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, for with God nothing shall be impossible. That's Luke 1:30, 35, and 37. Again, we see where the angel of God, Gabriel, heralds the message from God. And regardless, to have an angel just suddenly appear has to have some of an unsettling effect on you. And don't tell me it wouldn't. The scripture says Mary was troubled. By what he said, not at his appearing. I have always found it curious that these beings show up without announcing their forthcoming. However, scriptures tell us that the appearance of angels were more common in days past. I believe they might be just as common today. We just don't recognize them. Scripture, in fact, tells us that be careful because you may entertain an angel unaware. You think that's ever happened to you? I believe it's happened to me a couple of times. But you don't know till they're gone. You know, that's the sad part. How can it be that a young woman who has not known a man can have a child? It is called divine intervention. It should be noted well, Mary's response to the angel. For hers was a response of obedience rather than doubt. In fact, the angel tells Mary that this is not the first time such a divine intervention has taken place, for her cousin Elizabeth is 6 months with child. In Matthew 19:25-26, When the disciples asked Jesus, "Who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." In our own strength, we are unable to accomplish many things. Yet with God, nothing is impossible. And you ought to write that on a little card. Put it on your mirror when you get up in the morning and go in the bathroom. Nothing is impossible for God. All things are possible. What a comfort to know that all is in the hands of the Almighty. He will accomplish His will in our lives if we will just surrender to His call of grace in obedience to His word. Today, we can trust in a strength greater than our own, one that can accomplish all things in our lives. Trust God in all things in your life. Let Him go before you. Know this, that the Lord God goes before us, not behind us. He goes before us. He prepares our path. We face many challenges in life. We don't always see hope, but in God there is always hope. That is, if, as Mary, we could but respond, "Let it be to me according to your word." God has promised so much to those who will be obedient to His word. My friends, there are so many things that God would like to give us, but we just don't trust Him. He wants to bless us beyond our wildest imaginations. And if we're obedient to His word, He will bless us with those things. But first of all, you need to know God's word. And you need to know what all those blessings are. You find out what a blessing is. Tell God, "God, your word says that this is for me. I want to have it." But all of the blessings that He gives us isn't for us to wear like a medallion around our neck. It's to bless others with. See, that's how God is glorified. He blesses us and we bless others. And then they bless others. And the kingdom keeps growing. That's the power of God's word. God has promised so very much to us if we will be obedient. Don't miss Mary's humble spirit, the spirit of a handmaid. This is one who is willing to surrender all and serve God regardless of her circumstances and regardless of her situation. You must understand that Mary most assuredly knew the consequences of such a thing. She was a virgin. She wasn't married. What's everybody going to think? The worst. A young lady engaged to be wed, all of a sudden, with child, could be absolutely scandalous. Surely she trusted God enough to know if He could and would do such a thing, He most assuredly would take care of the other possibilities. Fear not, Mary, fear not. Our third fear not is the fear not of unanswered prayer. Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Luke 1:13. A man of God, a priest of the tribe of the Levites, serving in the temple, a man whose prayers have reached the ears of God Almighty. This is a man who is without an heir, because his wife's womb has been closed, but closed for God's purpose. And unbeknown to Zechariah himself, though he was a man of God, he did not know. It was important that Zechariah have an heir. The Levites could this harness can drive you nuts. It was important that Zechariah have an heir. The Levites could serve as priests before God with sacrifices in the temple. Only they could do that. Without an heir, the line of succession may well be jeopardized. The other priests likely looked upon Zacharias wondering if he had sin in his life, or possibly Elizabeth, and therefore could not have a child. After all, what else could be but sin? See, often that's how our minds work. We look at somebody's circumstances and they think, well, God's not blessing them. They must have sin in their lives. Well, I got news for you. We all got sin in our lives, and we could do a lot better, I think, to get it out of there. We would just trust God. Let the Spirit of God move through us. Bring to our memory the word, so that we can act upon it. But we all need to work on that, I believe. Not only does God promise Zechariah a son, but he tells him what his name will be. The meaning of John, according to Smith's Bible Dictionary, is to be interpreted as Jehovah's gift. My friends, there was a time when folks named their children with the intention that they would someday become what that name stood for. Now folks just go on the internet and pick the name that's the most popular at the time. That's why there's so many Garys in this congregation. You may pray for a long time for something and even possibly wonder if God hears. But he doesn't always respond when and how you might think is best. That brings us to our fourth fear not, which is the fear not of immediate obedience. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Then Joseph did as the angel told him. Sometimes we are fearful of being obedient to God because of what others might think or say. Hosea, a prophet in the Old Testament, may have had the same issues when the Lord told him to go and take a harlot for a wife. You would not explain that away in this day and age. It's not going to happen. Saying, God told me to do this. Yeah, okay. It's not going to happen. I imagine Joseph had that fear because he was of a mind to put Mary away quietly. Why quietly? Because he was a just man and did not want to bring shame upon her. A little footnote for you as a reminder concerns Joseph's calling. He was of the lineage of David, the fulfillment of prophecy. And Mary, of course, was a daughter of the Levites, also fulfillment of prophecy. Their destination was determined before they were even born. How wonderful is that? You know, God has a plan for each and every one of us. He knows exactly where we're going and what we're going to be doing. But he doesn't always share that with us, does he? It's just not for our hearing, because we might not do it like we have a choice. God was also concerned for Joseph. How do I know that? Because he sent his messenger again. In a dream, he spoke to him and didn't only say, fear not, but told him of God's plan for salvation and his people. Listen to what the angel said. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary as thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, a name with purpose. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We celebrate the birth of Christ tomorrow, but we want to celebrate it when he is born. That's when we want to celebrate it. We can celebrate tomorrow, but to be part of what he's done because he was born. There's not a person here who was not called unto Christ. Jesus said, No one comes to me unless the Father calls him. And the Father said, No one comes to me except through Christ. We're all here because he called us. And that's something to celebrate. What was Joseph's response to the angel of the Lord? Obedience, just as was Mary's, and just as it should be of all believers. For there can only be one reasonable response when God speaks to us, regardless of the means, regardless of our circumstances, and that is always obedience. Obedience now. When he speaks to you, tell him to you to do something, put something on your heart, take care of it. Immediate obedience. Personally, I have missed them opportunities on a couple occasions when the Lord just spoke to me and told me to do something, and I didn't do it. I don't know what the blessing that Lord had for the person or those individuals, but I know that he wanted me to do something, and I didn't do it. Don't ever carry that weight around with you. The Lord will forgive you, but you still remember that you let somebody down. God speaks to us, and regardless of the means, regardless of the circumstances, and that is always obedience. Always obedience. We do not have to fear obedience to God. We can see from the proof of in scriptures that those who were obedient always had his favor and protection. God goes before his people and makes provision for them. Deuteronomy 31:8, Moses gives Joshua his last encouragement. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Do you remember what the Lord told Joshua? Be strong and courageous. There isn't no fear in strong and courageous. Amen? Why do we have to fear unanswered prayers? We don't. The Scripture affirms that God hears our prayers and responds to them. We do not have to fear that which is humanly impossible. For with God we find through the Scriptures that nothing is impossible for God. Further, we find again in the Scriptures, in Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto them, If thou can only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We do not have to fear death, for Christ has won the victory over death. And in Christ, we have the same triumph. We have salvation through his blood. We are surrounded by many things this day. We're surrounded by evil, disease, injustice, oppression, and death. But the enemy has actually been defeated at Calvary. Things are not the way they seem to be. It is only a matter of time until it becomes clear to all that the battle is really over. In conclusion, therefore the message today is fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Saints, let us share this with the world as the angel did with the shepherds, and as the shepherds also did. For indeed, the Savior has been born, and all men can rejoice. If you have any anxiety or fear in your life, today lay it on the altar before God, and let Him take it upon Himself, and you'll find the peace that you need. Peace is the opposite of fear, and Jesus came to give us peace and joy. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the blessings of knowing that you go before us. In fact, your Spirit dwells within us and guides us. Your word, indeed, is a light unto our path. Lord God, we thank you and just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless this day, Christmas Eve, and tomorrow, and every day after, to your glory in your people. In Jesus' name, amen.